Good morning, church. Our first reading is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 5 to 23. And I'll be reading from the ESV version. Verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, has the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered. But God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or the life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Dear friends, I bring you good news. Please stand for the gospel reading. Holy Gospel is written in the 7th chapter according to St. Matthew, verses 24 to 27. Glory to Christ our Savior. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Dear friends, this is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Please be seated. Good morning, SGSM. Let us pray. Father, we pray that even in our deliberation of your word this morning, you grant us wisdom, insight. Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may understand your word, we may see your hand across your gospel, O Lord. We honor you, we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning once again. We are in our fourth installment of our series through 1 Corinthians. By now, we all know that Corinth was a very wealthy, very intellectually and culturally elite kind of a city. It was a trade hub and populated with people who boasted in their status and the many connections that they had. It was a melting pot of Roman and Greek culture and other Oriental religions. Now, each of them was trying to be louder than the other. Inadvertently, the church had allowed the chaos of their culture to infiltrate it. As we read in the last 2 to 3 chapters, there were divisions amongst them, each wanting to be the wisest, the most spiritual. In each chapter thus far, Paul has confronted their practices, their understanding of the kingdom of God. He says, you may think that this is the correct way to worship God. You may think that this is the correct way to be the church. Jews looking for signs of a Messiah, Greeks seeking after wisdom and interpreting the words of the prophets according to their own preferences. But Paul comes proclaiming a God that challenges the senses. The foolishness of the gospel confounded every argument. He preached a crucified Messiah King. He preached a lowly Savior. What was despised was to be boasted about. What was weak was considered strong. And what was human wisdom would not save them. Paul opposed their status quo and preached a gospel that turned their world upside down. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22, Jesus has similarly challenged the leaders of the law, and he will say, you have heard that it was said to those of old, but I say to you. Countless times, the Lord would turn topsy-turvy the known culture and understanding of the kingdom of God. Could it be that in the Corinthians' success and advancement, they had missed the main point? They had missed the plot. And unknowingly, they had become narcissistic, when in fact, the gospel called for poverty in spirit. The gospel called for meekness. The gospel called for humility. Instead of being a community of the cross, they were treating the gospel like a competitive sport. One group was wearing Apollos United t-shirts. In Acts chapter 18, verse 24, it describes Apollos as an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. Most likely they loved his polished and obviously they loved his polished and scholarly delivery. But by contrast, Real Paul's old school founder's bodily presence was weak and his speech of no account, according to 2 Corinthians. Maybe they didn't like Paul's in-your-face preaching. To the Corinthians, a teacher was a status symbol, a kind of rock star that made a follower look more sophisticated. They were bragging about which servant they followed, completely forgetting the master who sent them. But today's scripture teaches us that what we build on matters. In our spiritual lives and in the church, Jesus warns that a house built on sand will fall. Paul also dismantles this influencer teacher culture. He tells the Corinthians the same truth. Don't build your faith or the church on any human person, nor wisdom, nor circumstances, nor any worldly philosophy. There's only one foundation that can survive the coming fire. So from this passage of scripture, I have three reflections for us today. Firstly, Christ alone is the firm foundation. We're living in a world that is increasingly fluid. Our technology is updated every few months. Trends disappear in 6 to 7 weeks. The leaders we trusted yesterday sadly become the scandals of tomorrow. If you build your life on a general consensus, you are building on miry clay because our opinions shift like sand. In our fast-moving environment, we cannot have a gospel that evolves with the times. We need a gospel that governs the times. Paul uses a construction analogy to reset the Corinthians' perspective. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11, he says, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Even though Paul calls himself a skilled master builder who has laid the foundation, he's clear in verse 11, this one non-negotiable. There is but one foundation for God's temple, and it is the Lord Jesus himself. When the Lord asked his disciples, who do people say he was? When Peter confessed that he was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus had this to say of this confession. He said, "I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16 reads for us, "And therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste." The prophet Isaiah refers to the Lord Jesus as a cornerstone of a sure foundation. Now, if you've been in church long enough, you will know that this cornerstone was the very first stone that was set in a foundation. It was this stone that would determine where every other stone would need to go. Every other stone was aligned to this one huge block. And if this one stone, this cornerstone, was off by just an inch, over time, the rest of the building would be off-center. It would be weak and fall down. But what does it mean to have Jesus as the cornerstone of our sure or firm foundation? What does it mean for us in our lives, in our faith? It means that everything in our faith must take reference from Him. His person, His words, His work. Every decision we make first takes into consideration the pleasure and the glory of God. The points of view we have, our values, are shaped not by popular culture, not by political correctness, nor intellectual, nor philosophical agendas, but from a careful reflection of and through God's Word. How we raise our children, how we love our spouses, how we determine the direction of our families are not primarily based off self-help books or social media reels, but the unwavering anchor of the Bible. When we encounter storms and depression, when illness hits and loved ones are taken away by sickness and death and dementia, we can grieve and yet be upheld by the one who loves us beyond himself. So that we can say, everything within us follows the Lord. So that everything within us can bless the Lord. Everything we do is built on what Jesus did on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, and his coming return. Jesus is our cornerstone of our sure foundation. Paul, our master architect, warns us, and in fact, he encourages us. He says to us, you are not that smart. Don't imagine being able to have a stable life on a divided base. You cannot build on Christ and on your own cultural point of view. He tells us in verse 11 again, I read, no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, the tested stone of Isaiah. He has already been through the fire of judgment and the darkness of the graves. Christ must be our only foundation, a foundation that we can trust and build upon. But if Christ is our foundation, then what about Apollos and Paul? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? He answers, servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. Each of them had a task. It was to preach the gospel. They are pointers to the gospel. They are pointers to the foundation, but they are not pillars. A signpost that points to the SJSM village is not the village itself. Paul says that we are all but servants of the Lord, each playing our parts. As Paul says, one planted, another watered. But God gives the growth. Let us not get distracted by gifted teachers, exciting programs, or personal preferences. Paul sternly says, no human leader or wisdom can ever replace Christ's foundation. Secondly, build with eternal materials. In the Greek text, when Paul says, you are God's temple in verse 16, he is saying that each of us individually make up the church. And the materials are the lives and works of the individuals within it. If Christ is the foundation, then what we build on top of him does matter. And Paul describes two categories of building materials that will eventually all be tested by the fire of God's judgment. The two types of materials that builders can use would be precious materials like gold, silver, precious stones versus the perishable materials like wood, hay, and straw. These symbolize the two categories of works or motives in ministry and life. And there's a difference. Wood, hay, and straw are easily acquired. They are relatively cheap, convenient to source. They are processed materials. They are easy to find in an agrarian society. Wood is derived from a tree. Hay is basically dried up grass. And straw is the harvested hollow grain stalk. There's little value in one stalk of straw or blade of hay or wood plank. They are the remainder of something that used to have life. They are the remainder of something that used to have life that was of value. It's the Christianity that says, I'll give God whatever is left over of my time and my life and my energy. after I have done all that I want to do. It's a me first kind of faith. Let me go on a holiday first kind of a faith. It's a faith of convenience built on the straw of popular opinions, the hay of comfortable habits, and the wood of church worship that never actually changed our hearts. For the Corinthians, it was building a ministry, the church, on personality, on popularity. It was the performance. It was their flashy and quick self-serving agendas for attention and influence to announce their importance. These works, these kinds of works, might look impressive for some time, but on the day of testing, such works will be burnt up. But how about gold, silver, precious stones? These are the kinds of things that you don't find on the way to the bus stop. These materials represent a faith that is internal, is grown over years of God-centered discipleship. It's got nothing to do with its purchase price. They are costly because they require us to die to our egos. To get them, you have to go deep and mine for these materials. These could be seasons of struggle and hours of sacrifice where the Lord refined our motives and tended our hearts. These materials represent the parts of our walk with God that actually cost us our pride, our character, our attitudes, and our self-righteousness. It is the gold of self-denial, of a character that stayed faithful when nobody was watching. It's the purity of our motives, choosing integrity instead of looking good through false pretenses. It's the gentleness and patience in the midst of frustration when your pride is attacked. It is the silver of a life purified by the fire of repentance. It's a painful process of allowing the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts and lead us towards the Lord. It's a life of faith that has been through the fire of suffering and come out stronger. Precious stones, and the diamonds, the little diamonds in our jewelry box or on our earrings. But they were decorative, large blocks of stone that were quarried from deep within the earth. Then they were cut and polished until they could catch the light, something like marble. They were then used to be the blocks that would decorate the temples. These represent the slow daily excavation of a time with God and the tenacity to press in to hear His voice. It's the precious stones of a faith that has been dug out from the darkness of trial. These stones have been shaped by the master mason. It's been cut away at all the rough edges till it is fit for the temple. This is the surrender to God, to allow Him to chip away at all our rough edges, then polished by the Lord so much so that we reflect His glory. Paul says, the day will reveal the quality of the work with fire. He is saying that the volume of what you did will not matter. Fire will consume the worthless, and then the worker himself may still yet be saved, but he would stand there before the Lord empty-handed, finally realizing that all the things that he had built were worth nothing at all. 2 Samuel 24, verse 24. But the king said to Arauna, "No, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." So David bought threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David's refusal to offer a sacrifice that cost him nothing serves as the spiritual blueprint for Paul's analogy. David understood a fundamental truth in God's economy. The value is determined by the price paid. Paul's message is very simple. Stop building cheap shacks on a million-dollar foundation. In a faith walk, this looks like a convenient Christianity. Only relying on natural talent, chasing emotional highs, or just looking holy on the outside. They seem impressive but cost nothing. Like David, we should aim to offer a life that actually costs us something. Because our Lord deserves nothing less than our everything. So the questions we must ask are these. Is our relationship with God based on what is easy and what requires the least amount of effort? Are we mining for the gold of God's word? Are we investing the silver of a sacrificial life? If our materials, the things that we use to build our lives in the church, don't cost us our time, our pride, our resources and our efforts, then we are bringing straw to a God who desires precious stones. So firstly, my first point was that Christ alone is the firm foundation. And next, it was to build our lives with eternal materials. And lastly, we are called to unity. My friends, we are God's temple according to a passage of scripture. And this temple must be built on God's foundation according to God's wisdom, according to God's ways. Instead of pursuing the standards of the world, every believer must become a fool in the world's estimation by following the wisdom that comes from the Spirit of God. We deceive ourselves when we admire worldly wisdom, whether it is found in ourselves or in the teachers that we follow, where we look at influencers on social media, when we hear and read of articles in the media, we deceive ourselves. Paul's upside down gospel was a total contrast to how they figured the church should be. We cannot say, I follow Paul and I follow Apollos without tearing this temple apart, without causing divisions in the church. Paul told the Corinthians that they didn't need to belong to Apollos or Paul because these apostles belong to the church. These men and their leadership were gifts from God to the church and should not become sources of division. If they became people of spiritual wisdom, they would see that everything had been given to them in Christ. And their only boasting must be in Christ. When we humbly submit our building efforts to the Lord and each other, then the Spirit will shape us together into a holy community. And so the question for us is this. What is our call to action? What shall we do with the words of Paul? He has laid out a very clear challenge. Build only on Jesus Christ as our foundation. Use only Christ-honoring materials. And so I challenge us this morning to perform a construction audit on our souls. We check our foundations. Are we adding anything to the gospel that shifts the foundation? Are we building on a security and teaching of a human teacher, a human leader, a popular ideology. If it isn't the person of Jesus Christ, if it isn't the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, if it isn't the holy words of the gospel, my friends, then we are building on sand. Secondly, we check our materials. Are we blending our personal ambitions into the house of God? Are we bringing worldly ideas into the house of God, into this temple? We do well by tearing down any wood, straw buildings in our lives and our church. Let us stop settling for a convenient Christianity and start mining for the gold of God's word and live the sacrificial life. So that thirdly, we can build for the fire. Knowing that one day each life and ministry will pass through God's fire, the question that we must ask ourselves is this, whether our work will remain. And today, may we resolve that our lives will be built on the solid rock of Christ, which endures forever. As a church, my friends, let us build in unity. Let us recognize that it is God's Spirit that makes us a holy temple. Christ must be our only foundation. It is the only foundation that can guarantee to hold us firm, to provide the stability that we need to build a resilient faith. In an unknowing world, an unpredictable environment. May this always be our cry unto the Lord. The cry of our spirits in this church, in this community, that always Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of a sure foundation. And always may this church be built on Him and Him alone. Can we stand together as we close in prayer and as we respond in worship? As we stand here, let us ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. To be honest, as I was preparing this message, I was brought to I was brought by the Lord to a place of prayer where I myself had to look at my own life, the years of ministry, and ask myself, Lord, what will stand on that day itself? There were memories that came into my mind when I cringed, when I realized that I knew that maybe this won't, and oh, and I was brought to places and times when I realized that what I had done was not using eternal materials. I came before the Lord with repentance. Because at the end of the day, my friends, we want to stand before the Lord to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." My friends, you want to stand before the Lord on that day and say, "Lord, I have built with eternal materials." So Father, help us align ourselves to build upon the Lord Jesus Christ as our firm foundation. Upon your word, upon your works, upon your promises. Because of your cross, the hope that you give to us, Lord, you are worthy. Because of who you are and what you have done, we honor you and worship you. Lord, help us in each and every aspect of our lives, in each every moment of our lives, to build upon you and you alone, and to build sacrificially, not with a convenient Christianity. So Lord, convict our hearts if there be any way within us that is drifting away, Lord, draw us. Teach us. We repent. We come before you. We want to build for the long haul, O Lord. So come and have your way in this church and this community. May we truly be a people of your cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one we can ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in love to those around me. Jesus, the name of God, every other name.
Jesus, Lord.
Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will give my life upon your love. It's a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is someone like you. There is none besides you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and feed me in your land to those around me.